The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
All right, NAFTA podcast, we are back. Episode 202. You got myself and Dylan back in the house studio. I've never known what to call it after 3 years, but we're on the pod today. It's going to be a homer episode. We were just talking about it. Two games to talk about involve both of our teams, so you're going to get that. We'll do some dudes of the week as well, as always, run through the rest of the matches. If you're listening, like, subscribe, share. Throw us a follow on wherever you get your podcasts, listen to your podcasts, or on YouTube. Go ahead and do that. Dylan, how was your week? Big weekend for you.
Big sports weekend. Real good. Yeah. I mean, the Wolves are sick again, so we'll dive into that a little bit later. And then went to the outdoor game for the NHL for the Rangers Islanders.
Yep.
There's a difference, I guess, between being in an arena for 18,000 people and then being with 80,000 people and just singing the goal song against your rival. And
six times.
And the way that it happened, too, like that comeback was absurd. It was very much a body language game. Could see the puck, but did not know much of. I was going off the players from where we were sitting on. We should cheer or not.
Yeah, I was going to ask that because I got to see where your seats were. You guys were behind one of the goals on whichever side. But Lex and I were watching it for a while before we started Oppenheimer, which there's not going to be anything on this podcast about it. It was a good movie. It was long as fuck. We actually chatted about it in our group chat. But we watched it before we started the movie. And I've always wondered at those games, like, I know you're so much further away than you are at an arena. Was it so far away that you're like, man, this is really cool, but this sucks? It was so awesome.
No, I didn't have that feeling with where our seats were. My thought was, you know what? I think I want these seats for Copa America and World Cup. Was my thoughts. I was like, the vantage point's good. Like, this is where I would go get my seats.
Albeit a soccer ball much easier to see from a distance than a hockey puck.
Also true.
We were watching on TV, like I just said, and Alexis just kept going, like, how... Because I saw the second goal, I think, for the Islanders, and it was, like, a one-timer across the crease, and I was like, oh, that's a goal, before, like, it went in or whatever. And she's like, how are you seeing this? And I was like, I don't really see it. It's kind of like, you know, if you see the pass go through, this guy's not going to miss it type of thing. Yeah. But even on TV, it's sometimes tough to see the puck. Any other big takeaways? Like, was the food better at MetLife than it is at MSG? What else was going on? The jerseys are sick, I will say.
The jerseys were sick. I don't know. We ate beforehand. The beers were great. Just the same as they are at MSG.
Just as cold as they always are.
Basically. I get why they can't do it all the time. But, like, and I guess it's better. It's only every once in a while. But, like, in terms of just being a different event, like, it was the vibes were good. Even when it looked like the Rangers weren't gonna win, it was like just singing the goal song was still fun. And there's a lot of camaraderie about either fans hating when they were showing Giants and Jets players and be like, well, we're finally seeing a game that's entertaining in this stadium, so that's nice. So, like, there's some camaraderie at least throughout it. But I would 10 out of 10 recommend going to an outdoor hockey game if you're able to.
Which, if Michael's listening, Columbus next year, Blue Jackets, Red Wings in Ohio Stadium, which that'll be
sick.
I can't imagine they'd sell out, though. That's like 107,000. That'd be insane.
I bet you they do.
I know. I was texting one of my friends, neighbors that works for Overtime Sports right before this about the NBA. And I told him, I was like, dude, this season I've watched more hockey than NBA. I just feel like it's way more entertaining. And they've been saying it for 20 years, but maybe hockey's finally, like, going to have a little uptick. I don't know.
They don't know how to get out their own way. There's a commissioner problem.
I feel like the NHL is known for hating. It's still Bettman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing, like, so many just booze for the All-Star game and whatever. Okay, makes sense. I am not a hockeysman like you are, a multi-year season ticket holder for the New York Rangers NBD-KBD, but one of the most entertaining things about watching that game, like I said, I was watching it with Lex. She has no hockey context outside of Pegula Arena, Penn State, being a nice venue. We're a second, not even a second, puck hasn't even dropped yet, and I'm going to say this guy's name wrong, but Matt Rempe, right, yeah, has his debut, right? Puck drops, it's his first faceoff, and he gets in the immediate fight, and I understand hockey culture better just because, like, we used to go to Penn's games and just listening to hockey guys talk, and then listening to the interview with him afterwards about the guy he fought, like, The hard part for me was as the fight was going on, Alexis was like, oh my God, what is this? Why are they doing this? What, like, asking me 20 questions at once. How did you, with Alex, your wife, how did you, like, have that conversation? Because I kind of couldn't describe what it was. I was like, this is, I don't know, it's kind of like a protection thing. It's kind of like an earn your stripes thing. He's a rookie. Like, eh. It was a weird conversation.
First off, when they went up 1-0 and then there was a fight within the first 2 minutes, I was like, I already got my money's worth. Like,
yeah, right, exactly.
I'm assuming you're talking about the quote where he said he was skating in pre-game and they locked eyes. He's like, I already knew it was on before.
he said the interview post-game, he got to the face-off circle, and Martin, the guy he fought for the Islanders, apparently just looked at him and said, hey, congratulations on your first game. Do you want it? And he goes, hell yeah, I won it. Yeah. And then they started fighting. And he said, they talked afterwards, and he was like, the guy for the Islanders was like, my first game I fought Zdeno Chara. And he was like, you got a little bit more length than him. And the guy was like pumped about that. He's like, yeah, hell yeah. He's like, it was a great fight. And like, I don't understand how to contextualize that into words to my wife to make her understand, like, it wasn't a big deal type of thing. I don't know.
It's, if it wasn't right a minute into the game, it's a momentum thing. Sometimes you just need to change the flow of the game a little bit and throw some haymakers. Outside of that, like, I think you hit it right in the head. It's a rite of passage. It's very much just a, hey, you want to fight just so you can start making your bones? Like, and it's your first game and it's outdoors. Let's do this. Like, it's probably not the best way to explain it, but it's guys being dudes, being bros, being buds.
Yeah. Being paid and then earning, like, I was like, that's a physical manifestation of locker room talk. Actual locker room talk. That's what that was. Like, he gets to go back in the locker room after the first period, and everyone's like, hell, fuck yeah. Way to, like, have our backs type of thing. But it was, like, one of those weird moments where Alexis has no hockey background, and, like, the clash of cultures of, like, in the NFL, if you fight, which is what she watches, she's like, you're out. Like, you're done. So, like, are they going to be done? I was like, no, this guy's going to serve 5 minutes and come back on the ice. Like, what do you mean? It's going to be totally fine. So it was funny to see, like, her take the first step into, oh my God, this is a whole different world, which is always interesting.
Apparently, as we're watching it, Caroline loves Carnage. So maybe Caroline can explain it to Alexis, because she apparently goes to the hockey games for the fights.
Yeah. Well, she's with Nick. I can kind of see that. Now it's all making sense to me. All right. Stadium Classic done. Great talk. You didn't get to see the ads for it, but they really leaned into it being in Jersey. You had Tommy DeVito on one of the ads, and kind of
he was there. He was at the game.
Yeah,
I did a thing, and we're like, it was just so funny because it was him and Saquon. It's like, Saquon, I get, but like, why? Yeah. You know, good for him, get paid, but like, he's never going to play for us probably ever again, unfortunately.
He is really running with the 15 minutes right now. But it was interesting. It was pretty awesome. I regret not going to the night before, because definitely was not about to shell out the money for the Ranger Islander one, but pretty awesome. So if you're in Columbus and you're listening to us next year, get those Blue Jacket tickets right away. Dylan, dudes of the week, let's go ahead. You can lead us off. This is back-to-back weeks where it's just you and me. So you lead us off, and I'll go from there.
I'm going to go with a homer pick right off the bat, but Joao Gomez is a stud. Outside of him scoring 2 goals, and congratulations on about to becoming a father from one of the celebrations, his work rate, and Lamina's in this too, but like, his work rate is fantastic to the point where it's like, I think I saved something and I don't know. I definitely don't have it up. So this is, you know, me being fully prepared. But in that game, he wins everything. He has 2 shots on target, 2 goals. He has, I think, 6 interceptions, 6 tackles won, like 7 ground duels won, like with everything. And he's probably running like the most on the field. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I'm just so, yeah,
feels
I'm probably
like
going to ruin
feels
Joe
like
Gomez's
it's the
career
most.
When I get his kit. But until then, he's a stud.
Love it. I love the Homer picks. This is the Homer episode. We're allowed to do it. Sucks that it has to come on a day where Man City did not win. All right, my first pick is the Happy Trails. It's finally official. This podcast does love Roy Hodgson, although we were kind of in the middle of like, hey, Roy, you should get out. Like, get out while the getting out's good. He's finally out. Leaves Palace for the second time since we've had this podcast. But, you know, it needs to be said. Fan favorite, podcast favorite. Happy for him to finally be able to move on, not have all the stress in his life. And I really hope that he never gets another coaching job. Because, my guy, you're too old to be doing this. You need to just enjoy retirement. My second dude of the week is another coach. It's Xabi Alonso. They're going to win. I don't want to jinx it, but I don't think I can. I think they're going to win.
I don't think you can jinx it because the Harry Kane jinx might be stronger than even us saying that.
Who's out jinxing the jinxer? It's the Kane jinx is way bigger, which is one that Nick will revel in for no reason whatsoever. But Kane is out jinxing this. So Alonso and Leverkusen. Congratulations, you are Bundesliga champions.
With like 14 games to go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Nothing could go wrong. It's not like the game was, or it's not like the league was figured out last year on the last day. So, you know, nothing can go wrong.
We had, Nick was asking this question yesterday, actually. If it comes down to it, and let's say they're about to win the league and they have, I don't know, however it works out with like the back-to-back games of them ending the season and then having, let's say they make it to the Europa final.
Mm-hmm.
Do you sacrifice going undefeated in the league to rest people to win knowing you're going to win the league to then have everyone healthy and ready to go for the Europa? Or do you say, we're going to go undefeated and whatever happens, Europa happens. But we finally stopped, 12 years of Bayern dominance.
I mean, I'm going to say something maybe a little controversial. You know the only people that care about that Invincibles team?
That's fair. I know where this is going.
Arsenal fans are the only people that give a shit, right? So, I don't know. I think if they know they're going to win it, try to win a second. The other counterpoint to this, though, is if you're Alonso, by that time, you probably know for sure you're heading to Liverpool, right? So, like, he probably doesn't
care. He's going to go all out. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, he's going to go all out or he doesn't care. Like, I don't know.
I think he cares.
I feel like a lot of these guys are going to end up playing for Bayern next year anyway. So, like, who gives a shit?
That's fair. I'd say time is a flat circle. So, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Only on TV shows 3 years or 3 seasons apart, which I've heard that show's been getting terrible reviews. I don't know if you've been watching the new season of True Detective.
I have the last episode to go, which I might watch after this.
Okay,
so is it only posted?
Is it only 6?
Yeah, it's 6 episodes.
Oh, fuck. I gotta tell Lex. We've been watching it. All right. Not to get sidetracked on a podcast, that's totally sidetracking. But yeah, Alonso, my second dude of the week. Who you got?
I've decided I'm going with the 2-goal club this week. So we'll start with Ollie Watkins. I know he's not underrated, but like, I feel like he doesn't get talked about enough for how many goals that he's been putting through for Villa and kind of always being there to kind of finish the job. So I'll go with Ollie Watkins for just doing what he does. I think he has 14 on the season at this point. So that boy's going to get paid. So good for him. And then my third dude of the week is... someone who has scored in 6 straight games. So we'll give Rasmus Højlund a shout out because I don't think that he meant to do his second goal, but Nick claims he does and he claims he does. And if he actually did it on purpose, then I think that deserves to be due to the week because the reaction time to actually just do a little shimmy to get that in and taking fantasy points away from me, which is fine. It was cool. So, yeah, good for United.
Look, I think Nick needs to learn that not so much good shit's going to happen to him, and he needs to accept it when it does.
Yeah.
Like, to your point, stop apologizing for winning. Like, no, let's play into this. Let's play. He did mean to do this. It was a great goal. Like, give yourself a break here because it's not going to come that often. So I'm right there with you. And the switch of how Haaland and Højlund have played now in the second half has me a little bit concerned. We'll get to that a little bit later. My last dude of the week, Dylan, I know you're going to love this. A, you got the MLS starting next week. This coming weekend is the season opener. I am a huge stan now for CONCACAF soccer, just in general. I love the Champions League. I love the CONCACAF Champions League. You and I, only two people on the podcast who have been to the country of Costa Rica, I got a shout out, Herediano, Club Sport Herediano. I know it's not the team that you started supporting. It's not the team. I think I'm a Saprissa guy, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But this team was down 2-1 going into the away leg to Toluca, going into Mexico. Tough. Tough place to play. They came back and won 3-2, but they didn't just come back on aggregate. They were down 2-0 in this game. Scored a goal in the 57th, the 62nd, and the 84th to win on away goals. And it was awesome. I texted my family friend from Costa Rica afterwards and said this is a huge win for this team that she doesn't support. She's actually a supporter of your team. Liga, what they're called, La Liga, but it's not their real name. But this is just a fake ad. You should watch the CONCACAF Champions League because it's fucking awesome.
Do you know who Saprissa plays tomorrow? Actually, in the first round,
I did see they play you guys.
Yeah,
I know. You guys are going to Costa Rica first, and then I was literally looking to see what I had February 27th, but I think I do have something. And I was like, damn, I can't even go down there to watch it. But I wanted to see it. I think it'd be awesome.
You'd go to Costa Rica for the game or you'd come to the Union?
No, I'd go to Philly.
I was going to say.
I'd go to Philly, man.
I've gone to a Champions League game at the Union. It's a lot of fun.
I bet. The Saprissas, they just unveiled their next new like mascot. And it's a mix of like Barney and Gunnosaurus. But he's supposed to be like a Loch Ness Monster type thing. I did this whole history in the Saprissa because I played with them on FM. Should be fun. CONCACAF is awesome because you get the most passionate fans in like the entire continent at these games. And it's so cool to watch. And it's really a test for these MLS teams to be like, all right, how do we want to mirror our fan bases? What do we want them to do? I think it's awesome. Also, another really cool thing is Herediano, the Costa Rican team, which I know I'm butchering it. I know I'm fucking it up. You know who they play next in this?
Is it Columbus Crew?
No. They play a team called SV Robin Hood, which is awesome. Like, where are these people from? We got to look this up.
Nottingham.
Exactly. They're playing SV Robin Hood. And I wish I could fill in Buster right now, is based in Suriname. This is crazy. Like, that's why CONCACAF Champions League is so cool. How do we know? How would we have ever known? They got a great logo. They're red and green, as you'd imagine, with spears on it. So, just fucking awesome. Shout out to the CONCACAF Champions League. Shout out to Costa Rica. If not for the Union, because NYCFC is not in it, I'm pulling for any Costa Rican team to win it. Definitely no Mexican teams. Come on. Not bad.
We could use an MLS team winning. Get some dominance going.
They won it last year, right?
2 years ago. It's like the first time.
Yeah. All right. Dudes of the week over. It's also really warm in this room. Sorry, I'm sweating. Let's get into it. I got to call it out. People, if they're watching on YouTube, can definitely tell. Look, we got games we're going to run through. 2 games we're going to talk about in length. quote unquote, Tottenham, Wolves, City, and Chelsea, unfortunately. Let's lead us off here. Brentford hosted Liverpool. Liverpool won 4-1. Nunez in the 35th. McAllister in the 55th. Salah in the 68th. Ivan Toney scored again in the 75th to make it 3-1. Gakpo finished it off for the Reds. Burnley hosted Arsenal. Arsenal 5-0 win. Odegaard in the 4th. Saka in the 41st and 47th. Trossard in the 66th. Havertz in the 78th. Big win in retrospect for Arsenal, 5-0. Villa, they beat Fulham 2-1. Ollie Watkins in the 23rd and 56th, just like Dylan mentioned in his Dudes of the Week. Muniz in the 63rd for Fulham gets one back. Big win to stay somewhat in the race also for Villa. A 2-2 draw between Newcastle and Bournemouth. You got Solanke in the 51st. Gordon ties it up on a pen in the 58th. Bournemouth takes the lead again on Semenyo in the 69th, and then Richie in the second minute of stoppage time secures at least a point for Newcastle, who, man, they're leaking oil right now. Forest with a big win over West Ham. West Ham was down a man. I think it was late, though, if I'm not mistaken. Two goals for Forest. Awoniyi in the fifth minute of stoppage time in the first half, and then Hudson-Odoi in the fourth minute of stoppage time in the second half. Big win for them. Calvin Phillips with the red. I should have known that in the 71st minute for West Ham. Not looking too great. Also, as Americans, bad news there. We got to figure out Gio Reyna. Sheffield, they get whacked by Brighton 5-0. I think only the second clean sheet for Brighton all season. Buonanotte in the 20th. Welbeck in the 24th. Robinson in the 75th. Adingra in the 78th and 85th get the five goals for Brighton. United, they traveled to Luton. And it didn't take long to have goals in this game, and then there were none in the second half. Hoyland, as Dylan mentioned, in the 1st and 7th, Morris in the 14th, and then nothing, crickets after that. But United get 3 points away from home. And then today's match, Everton 1-1 with Palace. Ayew in the 66th, you keep thinking this guy's too old to even be playing anymore, and then he pops up, and then Onana in the 84th. Everton and Palace share points. Dylan, where should we go first?
It's a great question. I guess should we start with, I think we'll save Liverpool and Arsenal for the end because I'll probably transition into your game, in my opinion.
Yep.
Okay. I think it's more, at least what stood out to me is that United actually won 3 straight in, I'm probably have this wrong, but I feel like it's been like 2 years that they've actually won.
Feels like it.
3 straight. However, I agree, you shouldn't apologize for winning. But to not win possession against Luton, and I get it's at Luton, to me still scares me a little bit.
Okay, I don't disagree with you. It does scare me a little bit. I'll flip it this way. I'm more impressed with Luton than upset with United. Like, I'm still upset with United, or still, like, you know, questioning United. I do think that that coach at Luton needs a shit ton of credit because how they were playing, Rob Edwards, how they were playing at the beginning of the season to how they're playing now is fucking nuts. Like, they actually were stringing together attacks, I believe, and I knew I wanted to bring this up, 22 total shots, which is crazy for a team that I was like, they're dead in the water, relegated. And I know that United's big hole in their team is that back four in the defense, but they had a game plan. And when you play a team like that, they normally don't have a game plan. It's just survival. But yeah, I don't disagree. I do think that there's still some question marks around United for sure.
Yeah. Like, they should definitely take the win. I agree with you with Luton, like compared to Burnley and Sheffield, like they still are fighting even in games that they're losing, where I think Sheffield's been giving up, I think, every game, which, again, we'll probably lose to them this weekend. But outside of that, like Burnley, I think, finally, obviously, looks like there's some quit in them this week. And then Luton's always going to come at you. So you're right. Yeah. Good on them for that. But I don't know. United has good enough people that should be able to handle the ball in midfield and at least dictate the game a little bit. And I get they want to play countery, but counter teams, and I realize I root for a counter team that had like 29% possession this week, but The difference is their team that, with the name that they have, should be able to at least possess the ball a bit. So, I don't know. That's the first thing that at least stood out to me. But congrats on the win.
Yeah, I think it is interesting because we're running into, and Michael brings this up all the time, but like West Ham wants to play on the counter too. And I think they're too good to be doing that against certain teams. And when they have to do it against the bad teams, that's when they fuck up. And obviously, I think that's what happened this week.
I was going to say, that's literally this week in the same, I forgot, was it 2 or 3 weeks ago when the same thing happened to them? Where West Ham's kind of Robin Hoodie in this sense too, where because their style fits against a team that's more expansive, they do great against them as opposed to a team at home like Nottingham Forest that's going to just pick and choose their moments. And if you're going to let them have the ball, they're going to eventually score. They are talented. Anyone in the Premier League is talented enough, except for probably Sheffield United.
Yeah. Yeah. What's our... I saw a comment, and I think it may be accurate, and we should have said this when it happened. Gio not playing.
Not great, Bob.
Yeah, not good. But the comment did say, it's like, what should we have been expecting when he's getting picked up by a team whose actual best players play the same position he does? Like
That's also a fair point. But then that's more, I think, it goes into the bigger thing, I think, with Gio is, like, who's counseling him to say, like, that was the right move? And this is me going off of information that there was, like, 5 or 6. Like, he had a choice of where he actually wanted to go. Yeah. So I would assume there's some assurances that's like, hey, you're going to play. And, like, it's either not happening or you're right, there's not the right person to sub out to actually want him to play.
I think that that's a really great question, Dylan, because if there's one thing we know in Gio Reyna's kitchen cabinet, if both of his parents are in there,
we're fucked.
Probably not the best decision-making three-headed monster, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, maybe some weird thoughts going on there. We both want to see him play. This whole podcast wants to see him play. Michael and I, obviously, always a little more jokey, hard on the U.S. team, but we need him to play, especially going into Copa. I think there's a better chance that we get way more embarrassed at Copa than we would at our own World Cup. And I don't want to look forward to that.
I don't, but then maybe it leads to some changes happening, and we are okay with that.
For sure.
We'll see. Well, sure. I mean, we'll know how Copa, not to change stuff, but we'll know how Copa goes because we're playing Colombia and Brazil. I think it's warm-up games beforehand. So we'll know going into that tournament if we think we're up to it or we're about to get the doors kicked in.
Which makes you wonder, like, if you're Berhalter, I have to assume that, I'd like to think he does the friendly scheduling, but if he doesn't and he sees them schedule them, he's like, motherfucker, you really want me out? Because, like, we get boat race in both of those, and then, you know, those cheers against you are coming out a little bit louder. Newcastle and Bournemouth, A, I think they're both safe, as we've mentioned many times. B, second half of the season, if you're better beware of Newcastle. Like, I don't know which one you're going to get just because they're so thin.
This is the one team that I actually, not to make excuses for, but I think it's fair that, like, their performance is very indicative of them just having not enough players, which is also just the most ironic thing in the world because they want to spend all their money to get these players and they just literally can't.
Good draw for Bournemouth. Like I said, both these teams are safe. You don't think it's
I think it's a good draw, but I think they both left it on the table. Like, I think, like, this game shouldn't have ended in a draw. Like, one of these teams should have.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I think that's fair. I think the ambitions of Bournemouth would have expected them to take it away and go with it. I do think that, albeit thin, the difference in quality between Newcastle and Bournemouth showed that they're not going to lose, like, this game. I feel like that's probably what I'll take away from this, but I don't know, man. We are getting to the point of the season where if you're safe, a lot of these guys are probably hoping not to get injured. And I know we got 14 games left or however many games left, but I think it's a real thing. I think it's these bottom teams, again, like we say all the time, are so bad. Now they're pulling a couple more in. Like, Palace and Brentford are somewhat in this relegation race. So Bournemouth, you got to watch out. You're only 3 points clear of Brentford. But I don't know. I can't see a world where Bournemouth is pulled back into the relegation race. So
I agree with we'll you. See. That's fair. I don't disagree.
Fulham, Villa, Watkins is good.
Watkins is good. Fulham still Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
Anthony Robinson, cool sis.
That's actually a more perfect way. On these games where we don't have much else to say, I'm like, I got to find the American or I got to find the cool thing that happened. Fulham's definitely Jekyll and Hyde. And, you know, we go into this, like, just with West Ham. Like I said, like, I don't know what else to say about these guys. The guy that scored for Fulham's 22 years old. He's Brazilian, Rodrigo Muniz. Maybe he's, like, the answer to them getting very mid strikers, but who knows?
I don't think so. If anything, I think it's more – we associate Villa being so good at home and being one way or the other away. Mm-hmm. So, like, if anything, mm-hmm. I think it's just a good win for them to actually get away. And based off of what we did to Tottenham, like, they're back in the top four and back in the – like, basically their two horse race for that top four position.
Agreed. Draw with Everton and Palace pulled them out of the relegation zone. They are seven goals clear of Luton, tied on 20 points. So Everton get to sit in 17th. Palace had the interim manager, so that means that the new manager bump hasn't been used yet, which they got Burnley next. That'd be a big win for them. It's at home for the new manager, so we'll see what happens there. That's all I have for this one, too. Any words from the front lines from Hank on this? How's he feeling?
No, I didn't talk to him today, but I feel for him because, I mean, I fell asleep during the first half of that game. Brutal, to be completely honest. I don't know. There's no – for both of these teams, though, and I get it, like, Palace, you can say they're missing their two best attacking options, but, like, Everton's starting to get a little healthier, and it just seems like there's no one that scares me. That's like, oh, they know how to figure it out in the final third. Yeah. So it's this is some great analysis, but like the game was just blah. Like they both deserve the tie. Like if anything, this game should have been an Everton win, being at home, to then just put the fear in the Palace that they actually might fuck this up and be in a fight they don't need to be. Where instead, I think Palace is still blah, but they'll find their victories to still finish between 12th and 15th. And Everton's more worried about getting some points back, I think, and then they'd be fine.
Kind of to your point where the Bournemouth Newcastle game was exciting enough that someone should have won. This game was so unexciting that the draw was kind of the best outcome. I totally agree with that.
Like the last 5 minutes were the best part when they actually were like, oh shit, maybe we should try and win this game.
Yeah. Mad dash. We left the two that you mentioned to the end. Liverpool 4-1 over Brentford. Arsenal 5-0 over Burnley. My one comment on this Arsenal game was, man, they really wanted to turn the goal differential on its head as quick as possible.
And you know what? Good for them. They're going to need it with how this is going. Like, I thought the same exact thing.
3-1 win against Liverpool, 6-0 against West Ham, and then 5-0 against Burnley. 14-1 the last three games. And then they got 5-0 at Palace two games before that. So, like, they have scrapped and scrapped and scrapped to have a plus 36 over the past five games and are five clear of City. City with a game in hand, obviously. But big – they're going to beat Burnley, but to do it 5-0 is big, to be honest.
Yeah. I think they're getting hot at the right time. And I think I'm the – only one who will say this on this podcast because the other two of you want to see them crash and burn as bad as possible. But like, we will find out. I guess you would say this, but your answer is going to be no. It's more we're going to find out if this is the same team as last year or they've learned from their mistakes. They're beating teams or pummeling teams they should be to then be able to handle their business against when they have to finish up playing against you guys and Liverpool and United and all that at the end of the year.
This type of, the one thing I'll say, because I will still be saying until they prove me wrong, I will say that they're going to choke because they did. That's all I know. All I know is that they choked. And if they don't this year, then next year I'll say, hey, they didn't choke. They're better. I will say this, maybe not Burnley, but one of these other games, instead of it being 5-0, this would be a 2-1 win with a goal coming in the 88th minute or later for them, and they're sweating it out the whole time, which a lot of people think that builds character. There's also the thought process that is this kind of puts some doubt in people's minds, because if they're not doing it, you know, whatever. But 5-0 is huge. 5-0 is a huge win. The only problem is you got Liverpool, who is not going to stop winning, and I think are galvanized by Klopp leaving and the Tottenham game earlier this year. A 4-1 win at Brentford's a pretty good win.
I agree. I'm more scared that while I trust Liverpool and their depth, they're getting the injury bug at the worst time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what scares me. And granted, however, they're getting Salah back, who's going to do Salah things. But like, ultimately, I actually think for once we're finally going to have a fun title race. Like, regardless if you guys end up being Thanos and inevitable and all that type of shit. But like, I actually think it's going to come down to the last day. And do you realize who's sitting there on that last day to ruin Michael's day, potentially?
Isn't it you guys?
Yep. I know this isn't going to happen, and I won't allow myself to dream this until I need to see. Honestly, I've determined that the next three games in the Premier League will determine if I get my hopes up or not. But do we have to do a live podcast or some type of live streaming if Liverpool can win the league on Klopp's last home game and the Wolves are there stopping them, and but the Wolves have to win to be able to get into Europe?
Oh, so like,
there
are a lot of
drama.
There's a lot of caveats on this one, but I think that would be
I trust
amazing.
Liverpool more than the Wolves to be in this position, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I got you. I think that'd be awesome. We should definitely look into doing that. I would love, and Michael sent us the fixtures, and the one guy that was like, hey, here are the last 11, 12 games of the season for each of these teams. And Liverpool does have the easiest version of the schedule. I don't want to say City or Arsenal have it harder. It would look on paper that City have it harder, but like it's pretty similar. Are you sticking with Arsenal?
I mean, yeah, I kind of have to at this point.
Okay, if you didn't have to,
yeah, like I think these last two games gave me confidence that it's a different Arsenal team that is actually has that, like, we're going to step on people's throats, instead of, I think, if you look at the United-Luton game,
mm-hmm.
Luton could have tied that game up because United was up 2-0 6 minutes in, and instead of getting that third goal and just ending it, they didn't. Where I think that's something Arsenal would fuck around with last year, where now mm-hmm. they are. However, mm-hmm. their second-to-last game is against United, which who knows what that could be, and I feel like that's a tougher ending stretch than what you or Liverpool have.
Yeah, we get our schedule is tough for the next 3 weeks because we have Arsenal and Liverpool coming up and United in the next month or so. And then the ending run for us is just so much easier. Like I said, the teams are similar in the run up, but like where they're positioned and where they're stationed, like the season could have a lot of answers in the next month. Just because of how our matchups are. So we'll have to see.
Do you think, would you say from your quote unquote, they bottled it hatred for Arsenal? Let's say things stay pat exactly how it is. And like, let's say they beat you beat Liverpool, like however the points trade, mm-hmm. but it ends up being Liverpool first, like let's say you second, them third, or however the order is.
Mm-hmm.
But Arsenal comes in second or third, but they basically lose off by a point or two, but basically hold serve the whole time. Are we going to say that they bottled it, or are we going to say that was just a really tight race and they are a different team? Because
I think
the latter, but I'm curious where your head's at.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you, and this will not get clicks or like clip this out type of energy, but like if it is a tight race, I know how good the Liverpool team is. I know how good we are. If they're within a couple points of it, I don't think anyone technically bottles it this year. A, not to give us ourselves excuses. It's hard to do this four years in a row, so hard no one's ever done it. So there's that. B, we're a really tough team to beat. Obviously, Liverpool's been trying to do it for 5 years and only did it once. C, if Arsenal's up there, like, I have to give them the same respect that I've been given Liverpool somewhat. I mean, Liverpool's done it, like I said, for X amount of years. But I don't think it'd be fair to say that they bottled it. I think it'd be fair to say that, like, much like Klopp getting plus 90 points twice and not being able to win the league, it's kind of one of those scenarios if they don't. So they would gain my respect, put it that way.
That's good.
For sure. Yeah. Let's end on a high note. We'll do City-Chelsea first, and a perfect way to roll into it. City-Chelsea tied 1-1. Sterling in the 42nd, second time this season that he scored against his old team. Rodri in the 83rd ties it up, despite a lot of chances, three of which off the top of my head that Haaland had himself and missed. And then a interesting call for a handball or a not handball or whatever, which, based on your body language right there, I think we'll be on opposite sides of this argument. It ends 1-1. It's not just that we lost 2 points to be able to have in a championship run-up. It's also the fact that I sit here on the pod, most podcasts, and absolutely lambast this Chelsea team. And then I have to sit here and take the shit that I'm not happy about. But it is what it is. I've turned over a new leaf. When we do not win, I try my best to be on every podcast afterwards. So got a good attendance record this year for that. What's your initial thoughts, or what questions do you have for me? Or you can start us off, put it that way.
Are you worried?
A little bit. I think it's interesting. There's no defensive line for any of these three teams that I really trust, like Arsenal, Liverpool, City. Injuries with Liverpool. I'm impressed with Konate. Van Dijk's had some weird games this year. I think if we're looking at consistency, yeah, you could probably say that the Arsenal backline's been the most consistent. But again, last year I saw what happened. And then there are games, if you watch City, where our defensive brains are just outside of our bodies. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't think they know where to go. I think this is like 6 of the last 7 or 6 straight games where we've conceded the first goal in the game.
That's not good.
No. And it's usually on the first shot. Like, as much as I like to joke with Michael and try to rile him up about the Ederson-Alisson debate, Ederson has the lowest save percentage in the Premier League this season, which is tough. So,
I think that's because your defense has been predicated on you having so much ball possession. Which, not so, saying he's a bad goalie, but like I feel like it hides some of those facts for the most part.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So much ball possession, but also I do feel like in Ederson's defense is like when we give up a chance, we give up a chance. Like it is right square there. So I am worried for sure.
I looked at the game as, ultimately, you're going to say you're worried. I don't know if you have to be worried for the fact that Chelsea, for some reason, just only decides that they want to actually be good against you guys this year, and other than being inconsistent, to be honest. Because, like, Chelsea did play, I thought, very well, but they also, to me, like I've said, fall into that United camp where they could have put this game away, but they don't have those dudes to try and actually, there's no him to actually figure that out. And like, I think Haaland's allowed to have a bad game. I think he just had a bad game. Like, he's not missing the sitters. We've seen him before, but like, he's not going to do that consistently. Yeah. That I think you're fine. To where you're probably not worried. I'm personally happy you tied for the fact that it makes the race a lot more fun, as opposed to, regardless what happens, City's going to win another 20 in a row and still win by 2 points, where at least here, technically Liverpool, a different team controls their destiny and it's a matter of if they fuck it up or not. So like, I know you don't want to hear that, but like from an outsider standpoint, that made me happy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry it had to be to Chelsea though.
Yeah, that's probably the toughest part. The toughest pill to swallow here is that it's in the form of a Stamford Bridge. Look, I'll say this, and I could be wrong because I've definitely been wrong so many times on this podcast, but like even right now, the three teams that we're talking about, Liverpool, Arsenal, City, I don't think any of those teams are going to win out.
I agree. I think you have to win, was there 15 games left or 14 games left?
Yeah. I think you got to win 13.
I think you have to win 13.
Yeah. You can fuck up twice, and it behooves you to draw.
But you can't fuck up against the teams. You can't. You need to tie. Like you either need to win or it needs to be draws when you play both
each other. Yeah. I totally agree. I will say this on a positive note. Michael and I were obviously texting during this game. He said the same thing you said about Chelsea, where it's like they just decided to show up against City and Liverpool. To be fair, there. Rodri's just always, it seems like when there's no answer, no chance. He's always there to save us. The other thing that I'll say too, if I'm going to say the same type of thing about, you know, Newcastle, the fact that we're only subbing one time in this game is a little weird. I don't know.
I agree. I think that's just Pep outsmarting himself. Which is funny to say for someone of his stature, but
could be.
I don't know. My other takeaway, though, and maybe it's because I was coming off of how the Wolves just played against a very good counter team, though. I think you guys are susceptible to an upset. Like that's. I think your loss, if like you guys trip up again, isn't gonna, it might, but like it's probably not gonna come against an Arsenal or Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be against someone in the mid table. Like, I don't know. I was about to say Brentford, but I realized that I'm picking City and you guys play them literally next. But it'd be like a Wolves of Brentford or like even West Ham, which it's tough because that's, I know, the last game for you guys. Yeah. But like that type of team is, I think, where it's going to be the team that ends up where you guys trip up based off of what I was watching this weekend.
Yeah. I think that in transition, we defend so poorly this season, and that's been the Achilles heel. I don't always get to, I never say nice things about Chelsea, but that the Di Sassi guy, center back, where the fuck did he come from? Malagusto's been around because you got in a fight in Philly about that guy, or Michael did maybe. No,
I just told the guy that we're better than them. And he was like, no, you're not. And I was like, okay.
Look at the table. Similar tables a thing here. No, Axel Di Sassi. I know that he's played this season. I feel like we've talked about him before, but he had a whale of a game. Like he kind of figured us out and shut us down a bit. So I don't know. I have no other nice things to say about Chelsea, but man, this was disappointing to lose. So that's all you'll get from me. Dylan, let's end on a high note. 2-1 win, Wolves over Tottenham.
Gomez.
Yeah, why did I just do that? Gomez, I know it too. Gomez in the 42nd, Kulusevski in the 46th, tied it up, 63rd minute. He gets the winner. Dude, talk me through this one because on paper, I feel like this doesn't, maybe it does. Playing Tottenham with your counter, like, did it work? Like, did you feel like you had so many chances? Was it just an open field fast break soccer?
We did the game plan. It's again, and I'll get into it, why I'm probably worried for a game. I'm more worried for playing Sheffield United than I am against a Tottenham or any team like that. Because like Ange Ball wanted to come forward, all that type of stuff. And it's similar to what I was just saying, where I think why I can understand how we beat you early in the year and all that is like, they were pushing so forward that when Neto or Sarabia or even any like Semedo, who's been fantastic too and all that, we knew like we were disciplined enough to let them absorb pressure and pounced every single time and did it to perfection every time. Like the second goal, we had no business like Neto turning that into a goal, to be completely honest. From where that started off of the corner and him just driving it all the way up the field and then going from there. I also think, again, this is probably the second time injuries have helped us against Tottenham, but like Davies and Royale suck, to be completely honest. Like they they're not great, and it definitely hurts Tottenham in that sense. And I know we're coming off of a week where I was high on Tottenham, and like I think I still am. It's just we did what we had to perfectly, and I'm gonna say it again: Lamina and Gomez as a midfield unit, in my opinion, are fantastic, especially for the price that they're at. They outwork almost like every other midfield, I feel like, in the league, where I actually would take them over some of these other midfields, compared to, at least from a mid-table perspective, that they know their job, they know their role, and I'm happy Gomez got his goals because he's in the right spots all the time. Also, that was the worst defense I've ever seen off of a corner for a first goal, too, so we appreciate that.
Yeah, I talked about this on the solo pod I did, but if this is an American sport, because I feel like in U.S. sports, we do give that coach of the year to, like, the underdog story or whatever. Like, he's got to, O'Neal's got to be in the talks, because the more that we find out, too, about your FFP situation and having to sell people off and whatnot, the fact
we
that this
14
team...
people.
Yeah, the fact that this team plays as well as they do. And going back to this game, like, if you look at stats, and I know stats don't tell all the story or whatever, to only have 29% possession but still out XG Tottenham and out shots on target them, which are like the quality chances type of thing, like, that's insane.
It's literally what I said. We knew when to go into counter, and every time we did, we made them work to make sure the ball didn't go back into that. And like, even their goal, it was a good goal, but also fluky in my opinion. Mm-hmm. That like, he nutmegged Sa, and like, I thought Sa could have probably should normally save that. So like, I don't know. I think we took Son out of the game too. Madison really didn't do much. Like, all around good effort, and I know this isn't really this game. If you let us play counter football, I have all the faith in the world we're going to win. When we face what we're about to face in Sheffield United and have to actually break someone down, this is what I'm actually scared, because I don't know if we actually have the talent to do that. So yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah. Big win, though, just because, you know, deep down, everyone on this podcast wants you guys to finish above Chelsea. And right now you're only two goals behind in goal differential.
And Bournemouth for Gary. There's two races that we're worried about right now.
Yeah. They got a game in hand, but right now 7-point differential between yourselves and Bournemouth. But that is another really, really great point. All right. That week, match week done, dusted, talked about. Let's talk through our predictions for this week. I will save us having to answer one of them. We got a makeup game tomorrow that is City Brentford. Everyone in the pod obviously took City. We have Liverpool and Luton having to move up to the midweek as well for this match week. So it's wonky scheduling. That's why we got the pod out today. But let's lead us off before we get into some bets if you got them. Like I said, Liverpool, they're hosting Luton. I got Liverpool.
Okay.
You got Liverpool?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chelsea Tottenham is going to get delayed. So like I said, this week's just kind of wonky and weird. So our next game is going to be Villa hosting Forest. It's at Villa. I think we both are sitting here being like, you know, Villa's a force at home. Who you got?
I'm taking Villa. I don't think they make the same mistakes of letting Nottingham Forest dictate the game in West Ham will. So I think they'll be fine.
Totally agree. Brighton's going to host Everton. I got Brighton in this one. Who you got?
I'm taking Brighton, but I just want to throw out there, based off of recency bias of what Everton just put out there and what Brighton just put out there, if this game ends up being like Brighton winning 1-0 or Everton winning 1-0 and Brighton just laying an egg, it wouldn't shock me the least bit. But I would be taking Brighton.
Wouldn't shock you. And that usually leads to a opportunity to bet a little plus line, which you've mentioned this before. We want to get the pod lay back on. Because it's you and me, I got two legs. And I was going to bring two legs to the table for you. I'm teasing out one of them right now, but... yes, I agree. Brighton over Everton. Palace, they're going to have their new manager. It's at home against Burnley. The maybe best setup for a new manager outside of Sheffield. What do you think happens in this one?
I'm going with a tie. I don't have faith in either team. I know one team's probably going to win because I'm the worst at actually predicting the games from my record, but like, I don't know. I think both teams suck.
Both teams are pretty bad. I will say this. I'm going to go new manager bump. I got Palace with the win over Burnley. United hosting Fulham. This has been a home team lock for me this whole week, so let me stick with it. I got United. Hoyland again with a goal. Who you got?
Same. I think the United train keeps rolling.
Yeah. First one that I'm going to go differential on, Bournemouth is going to host City. I got City, obviously. So
I have City, too.
Yeah. Arsenal hosting Newcastle.
I think Arsenal beats Newcastle because Newcastle's too thin. I'm going to say 3-0.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say 3-0 as well. I think we need to worry about Newcastle in the sense of they're definitely not going to get Europe now. I can't see it. I can't see it happening. Dylan, there's one thing I need to know. You got to keep us updated if your Whole Lot of Wolves podcast invites that Sheffield United fan back on this week, because that was awful, and then it backfired for you all. But Wolves is hosting Sheffield United. I got a win for you guys. I can totally understand if you're going to try to double reverse jinx yourself here, but who do you got?
I was going to take the Wolves for the first time, but I'm taking a tie because, like I said, this is the type of game that we should win, so we're going to fuck it up.
It does scream that. Big win against Tottenham. Who you got next? Sheffield United. Oh, let's just not win this one. Yeah, I totally get that.
Because then we play Newcastle and we'll beat them. So
yep, exactly, you know. Exactly. Take from the rich, give to the poor, as it's always been. West Ham hosting Brentford. I got a draw just because I don't know shit about West Ham anymore.
That's why I'm taking Brentford, which means West Ham's going to win. But I will be taking Brentford.
We're both going to lay the egg there. Quick little update. Michael still in the lead, albeit, and it was a little bit more commanding because he went 7-3 this week and led the clubhouse. He got the draw between Everton and Palace. He's 142 and 106. He's inching closer and closer to 40 games over 500. Nick is in second, 132 and 116. I myself in third, 128 and 120. Dylan, big week to bounce back, 121, 127. Still pretty solid records across the board for the boys. Let's do this. We're going to get some bets in. If you want to circle the two that you have, I'll go through mine so you have time to do that, but I wanna be able to give you some time and put this like four legger together just to represent the pod.
Okay.
All right. My first one. Total goals, Brighton Everton. I'm going +3.5.
Over 3.5?
Yeah.
I was gonna come on here and say under 2.5 +115 Brighton Everton.
Man.
You see, think there's gonna be a shit ton of goals?
I feel like when I see fire, I sit there and be like, oh, the fire's gonna keep burning. And when you see fire, you're like, oh, well, the water's coming soon. Like, I just think Brighton's gonna keep scoring. And I think there's a goal, at least a goal in Everton.
I agree with that. I think I've been burned by Brighton too much, where they either score 5 goals or they score absolutely nothing.
I totally agree.
And I'm going with this being an absolutely nothing burger. But if we're doing the lay, I know I have to ride with you.
I'm
looking at their schedule. No, I think I'm right. They've scored 5 goals against Sheffield United that they've played in the past like 2 weeks. And then Palace 4-1 when that was just Thad Roy day. Other than that, they've scored 1 goal, 0 goals, 0 goals, 0 goals.
So then let's come up with the consensus.
I'm just throwing that out there.
What was yours? What was your bet?
Also, they tied Everton 1-1 when they played last time. So, you know, just throwing it out there.
Yeah. What was your bet?
Under 2.5 at +115. But I don't want to steal your dreams.
No, but both teams to score?
No, I just said I had under 2.5, but I think both teams to score is a fair shout.
I think we do that. I think you just do under 2.5. I'm here to, this is across the aisle. I'm here to do it. We're doing a podcast pod lay. Let's have that be the first leg, under 2.5. I'm totally switching. It's totally fine.
Okay.
Under 2.5, I'm totally fine with. I want, however, to keep the momentum rolling, and because I don't bet so often, I got a feeling that I'm trying to place a bet that isn't even on paper yet. I want anytime goal Hoyland. I want 7 in a row. I think that'll happen against Fulham. And it's not on my DraftKings right now, so.
Yeah, but, we can't bet it yet, but.
But yes. I'm throwing it out there. I think that's one we add as well.
I'm in.
All right.
My two then would be both teams to score no draw, plus 120 for Villa, Nottingham Forest. You're nodding, okay. So I think that's approval. And then I'm taking my Crystal Palace Burnley tie at plus 240.
Crystal Palace. I like it.
But I can be walked off of that since I made you change one of yours.
My only thing would have been exact score 1-0 Palace. Cause it's new manager bump, but I like the draw. I like the bump. Like we're going for big bumps. Big pluses.
Without Hoyland, we're at plus 1508. So with Hoyland, let's assume this is like a 2500 parlay.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. We'll roll with that. You got anything else betting wise that you had two?
Those were the three I was going to be doing.
Okay.
Anyway.
The only other one I wanted to be able to put in here, again, not going to be able to because DraftKings, I feel like, does not have the CONCACAF Champions League in here.
I think they do. They definitely do.
I'm looking for it. And this is great podcasting. Absolutely. Nope, Nations League. I don't know, man. Don't have it. Anyway.
What do you want?
I don't even know. Let's do this. I think Moneyline Napoli over Barcelona. It's plus 180. So
I agree with that.
I would say that's, if you want to throw some midweek money, that's where I would put it for sure.
Put a tie in the Union game tomorrow too. When you eventually find it, I would say it's a tie. We won't win in Costa Rica.
That's a long flight. It's not actually a long flight, but it's a longer flight. Yeah. Dylan. We got some bets in. You got me back involved. Give us a little joke. Get us out of here.
Why did the soccer ball quit the team? It was tired of being kicked around. Cheers.
The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.